Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the several tribes wandering near the river Gisp in the desert of pain. Good morning to the ghost people that live in the cracks of the world. They grind out existence using a pocket knife. It is Wednesday, hump day, February the 12th, 2025. There are two more shopping days until Valentine's Day. There are two more shopping days until you can get that special person you love something more than a rubber glove, if you know what I mean. There's two more days to show her you still care. There's two more days to lose those 20 pounds. There's two more days to stop drinking. There's two more days to stop thinking. Because Valentine's Day is literally right around the corner. And if you're not ready to show that special person you love, and I don't care who it is, could be he, could be she, could be Grombo Freak. We're not supposed to ask questions, right? But you got two more days, motherfucker. And love and hate are the same type of madness. And if you don't take care of that one you love, she's gonna poison you. She's gonna add poison to your soup. You won't be able to poop. Your face will turn red. You'll be gone, Ned. Forever. So, I have a fortune cookie to read, but as I said, before I read the fortune, you should know it is February the 12th. It is 2025. And as of this recording, it is 4:47 a.m. on a Wednesday on the Olympic Peninsula. Here is my fortune. I cracked it open. It is now true. Before this point, it was not true. Your best medicine in the next month is a good dose of sunshine. You know, there's some demon sending me these things. Because, like, this is the truth. Port Angeles in the winter can be quite dreary. And last year, I was living on the slope of a hill in such a way, again, in Port Angeles, that between October and April, we never got direct sunlight. We could see it in the valley. I called it the Golden Valley. That's where people were warm. That's where people were loved. That's where people got Valentine's gifts. But in the shadow of the Dark Mountain, which if it's not a short story by H.P. Lovecraft, it should be, there was no direct sunlight last year. From October till April, you could see the golden shine, but you did not deserve to stand in the warmth of the sun. So yeah, I think Mr. Demon sending me these fucking fortunes, I think indeed I could use a little sunshine time love, baby. Okay, first topic is not one I intended to talk about. And before I say too much, let me explain why. There's too much garbage out there. And if I can do you a favor as a human being, I can choose to not talk about the garbage at all. Because in talking about it, you give it some power. This is the thing, it's funny. I look at the emails I sent to that Anna Merlan person, explaining to her my experience, truthfully, and my relationship to that guy, truthfully. And I think I might have even said, and if I didn't, I should have, giving this person a spotlight, positive or negative, works in his favor. But that's the thing. I don't really think this had anything to do with telling the truth. I'm not sure I fully understand the agenda of it, and I don't care. What I can do is I can try to not talk about stupid shit. For example, I can choose to not mention the stuff I just mentioned, and in the future, I'm probably just going to stop mentioning it at all. And other things I simply will never fucking talk about. But there's one subject that keeps bouncing around like a bad penny, and so we might as well address it. I am permanently banned from YouTube. So, just out of the box, I have a bias. If you have a successful channel on YouTube where you're allowed to exist, then you have a permission from the system I don't have. And what's even more grotesque is I never had more than 60 listeners at any given time. And if you're out there, YouTube or NSA or Deep State, this is my frustration. I was never that popular. So why the fuck did you care? I wasn't really saying anything more radical than anybody else. And if I was saying something more radical, don't you inadvertently give me some street cred by banning me? It's kind of fucking stupid. So when I think about YouTube channels that are successful, they basically fall into two simple categories. The innocuous, which is the, would you like to see me cook beef stew in the woods in a stump? Look at my kitty cat. Hey, isn't that a funny thing the parrot did? Isn't it happy how the dog saved the snake? So there's one group of videos on YouTube, and that's the innocuous. There are no steaks. Well, if there are, you'll piss off the vegans. No, I mean steaks as in S-T-A-K-E-S, steaks, like when you're betting. There are no steaks. The innocuous videos have no stakes, so there is no controversy, there never will be, and if there is, it's amongst people who are just probably on the edge of madness or already there. Because who gets pissed off about Chef Gruel? And who gets pissed off about some idiot, you know, cooking a pizza in the woods, really? Or some woman singing a song to a cow? How could you fucking be upset about that? The other category of videos are the supposed, how can I put it? The quote-unquote online journalists and commentarians and public figures, all of which discuss, within their own genre, the current narrative. And there's even limited hangouts. Like, you're allowed to say, oh my God, the monkey herpes, came from a Chinese murder lab. You can say stuff. But you say it within boundaries. The one thing you can't say about the COVID in general, although it has changed, so, you know, who knows, maybe they would let me back on again, is in general, back in the day, you couldn't say the COVID was 100% bullshit. You couldn't say that. You also couldn't say that the quote-unquote vaccines were either poison or placebo. You couldn't say that. Like, I'm convinced that Putin's Sputnik vaccine was placebo. I am. I'm convinced that that's the case. I'm not 100%, but let's say I'm just 90% certain that when Putin unveiled the Sputnik, it was just a bunch of fucking saline shots. I am convinced a bunch of idiots went on ventilators because they got bad advice. A bunch of idiots injected themselves with horse dewormer because they got bad fucking advice. I think a lot of people did stupid shit during the COVID, and what I was trying to tell them is stop. So when anyone shows me a channel like a Mr. Beast who, oh, he does stunts and he gives to people. And we'll talk about the give to people next, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this shithead. But whenever somebody mentions somebody like this, I immediately say, don't even think about it. Because they're going to fit into that category of some type of edgelord or some type of, you know, quote-unquote, chosen representative of the moral compass, some type of weird explanation of reality, all of which will fit into the narrative. Whatever the current narrative is. Right now, the narrative is Trump's saving the world. Trump's saving the world. Now, the aftertaste, the truth is, the key word for 2025 is smoke. Because Trump is neither Hitler nor your savior, but he is a big old fucking puff of smoke, baby. And you know, if there's smoke, there's fire. I don't really care that Mr. Beast is a quote-unquote philanthropist, whatever that means. I don't care because if you're actually doing the right thing in this world, you're not really doing it to get credit. In fact, it's kind of a crazy thing to do. It's a very sociopathic thing to do. It seems counterintuitive. Dan, are you saying when he helps people, he's acting like a sociopath? In a way, the same way that when, you know, any particular cult leader does a couple good things, often it's to cover up a couple bad things. If you look into Jimmy Donaldson's bio, it looks kind of ordinary. It's weird to me he chose the pseudonym Mr. Beast. At any point in the last 20 years that a human being would choose as a pseudonym Mr. Beast is kind of fucking weird. And if you're born in Kansas and you grow up in either of the Carolinas, in any type of, you know, semi-rural place, yeah, you got the crack and you got the meth and you got the hopelessness and you've got a church at every corner. So that's weird. The choosing the name Mr. Beast, I'm not really sure how you get there. He probably has his own clever explanation. I'm not interested. Every time I see a picture of the guy, I say, this is the type of person I'd never trust. In fact, if this person comes up to me in public, I'm kind of glad, because better public than late at night, I'll just simply walk the fuck away. If you invest any emotional energy in this person, I would suggest you stop. Next topic, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Oh, Dan, you made fun of Mr. Beast. I did. And there's a couple links you can look at, one of which is related to the Christian perspective on giving. Yeah, I dumped on Mr. Beast. And I will say, I will dump on Mr. Beast or anybody at this point in human history that would call themselves Mr. Beast every fucking day of the week. And if you're a real beast, you don't give a fuck. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Well, I'm gonna drink some coffee first, okay? Bitcoin looks more like Scientology than technology. Yeah. It does. And we'll get to that in a second, but that's a good quote from Dr. Freckles. Bitcoin is more like Scientology than technology. Here's a quote from Frank Corva of Bitcoin Magazine. I can't help but believe that El Salvador is still Bitcoin country. There's a ragged soldier standing on a beach. It's 1961, the Bay of Pigs. He can't believe Cuba is still Fidel country. There's a weirdo in the jungle waiting for his little drinky, his drinky poo, his stinky goo, something special, you know, from Jim Jones. And he can't believe that, you know, that Jonestown is, you know, Kool-Aid country. God damn, I can't help but believe. Well, firstly, there's too much going on there, Frank. You either believe El Salvador is still Bitcoin country or not. Let's just leave it there. But the can't help but means that you're powerless not to believe. And I think that that's weird. That's not what an intelligent person says really about something that's meaningful. Like, I could tell you, I can't help but believe Mrs. Snatch's pie is really sweet, and I mean her apple pie. You can say that maybe. But when you're talking about instruments of value, quote unquote, because that's what people sell crypto as, a efficient, decentralized instrument of value exchange. Because that's the simplest way to put it. There is value in an ounce of gold. There's value in a pound of salt. There's value in 2 pounds of meat and a dozen eggs and probably a gallon of gasoline. And if you believe the crypto folks, there's value in a Bitcoin. It's earned value. The value is earned by mining it. But here's the thing. In order to believe there's earned value in having some computer program execute an algorithm with no real effort on the part of the person other than buying the computer, installing the software, and running it, basically. And I'm sorry that, you know, in 2013, I came to that conclusion that a lot of people that were into Bitcoin didn't really have a background in computer science. They just understood enough technology to do a few things correctly. A lot of script kiddies were into crypto early on. What you have to believe is that an automated process searching for a special type of unique token, a special type of coin, which really means an automated process playing a game. Because many games are nonlinear. Many games are so complex that if you extend them, they become way more restrictive than the Bitcoin protocol. Okay? A good example is the game of Go. So imagine you have some shitheads in a basement someplace playing Go. Maybe you've got the smartest people in the world. And they finish 20 games of Go. How much do you want to pay for that? You can tell, well, Dan, it's not, no, okay, let's pretend that the 20 people playing Go are masked behind a system by which it is translated into a unique token. One of those tokens can ever exist on a common chain of tokens. And the great news is you've got basements with people playing Go all over the country. And everybody's generating a Go, Go, Go coin. And it's probably already taken. And all this meme token mania, the Go, Go, Go coin is probably gone. So let's call it the crazy people playing fucking Go in the basement coin. You could have basements and attics and apartments all across the country, houses, where people spend 2 hours a day playing Go. And maybe some of them are really good players and some of them aren't. And frankly, it doesn't really matter, because as long as there's a uniqueness to the complexity, and the great thing about Go is it can generate a kind of uniqueness. As long as there's a uniqueness to the complexity, as long as there's a way to prove the work you did, and as long as you can share the answer across the network, right? Because any computational process, whether it's generating a fucking Bitcoin, or whether it's those people playing Go in the basement, any computational process, period, can be thought of as a function. And in that sense, you can substitute function F for function G. Okay? So that's the question I'm asking you. Do you think there's any intrinsic value in knowing there are people playing Go in basements or attics or in apartments? I'll tell you, those games get really complex. In fact, in the cases of the amateur, those that don't know enough about the game itself, those with the non-expert skill set, I would expect those games to even be more random and weird. The point is, and I do have a point, is whether it's Go or poker or blackjack or fucking playing Tetris. I mean, a guy plays Tetris and he gets to a certain level and he generates a coin. It doesn't matter. You have to believe that that action, that process has value. You do. Now, there are lots of computational processes used in logistics every single day that have value because they're fast and they're efficient and they allow company A to exchange supply chain data with company B. And that supply chain process, which frankly, if we're being honest, SAP owns most of that ERP, if you know, you know. But that process has value because that's how commerce works now. And it works very efficiently because you can do it that way. It also enables better just-in-time. Again, if you want to make your supply chains efficient, there is computational value, actual value, earned value, in the transactions sent between these companies. Now, does that mean that either company would pay somebody directly a massive amount of money because they invented the transaction that might have happened in the future 20 years ago? The answer is no. They're paying for real-time value for real work, not fantasy work, not people playing Go in a basement. Now I'm going to read an article. This is coming from Oh, the Tico Times, a newspaper since 1956, Costa Rica's leading English language newspaper. Headline, and actually this is from AFP, El Salvador abandons Bitcoin as legal tender after failed experiment. I'm not going to read the whole article. In fact, I'm just going to give you the summary. Basically, at a certain point in the last year or so, Bitcoin was kind of a mandatory thing to be accepted as legal tender or some type of standard currency. And now they've said, no, you can use it if you want to. I think it's still optional, but people can refuse it. And there's a couple good quotes in the article. There's one from an older woman, which I would tell you is common, who doesn't make a lot of money. And the whole crypto thing was never built in such a way that it enabled her to use it. I have been around this crypto bullshit since 2013. I've never got that deep into it. I got sort of deep into it in 2017. And I'll tell you something, it was one of the biggest mistakes of my fucking life. Okay? I am convinced a lot of people who are grifters, con artists, are attracted to it because it's a lot of buzz. It's a lot of telling people about computers behind a room, you know, in a room someplace. It's a lot of con artist bullshit, but it's not a lot of substance. And when you actually try to do transactions that are real, meaning the stuff that ordinary people do every day, so far the system looks broken. And it does not work as well as the big centralized clearinghouses, which, by the way, you know, when people say, well, they're centralized, yeah, but they also tend to be redundant. So they're centralized and redundant. And in reality, crypto's not decentralized. It's polycentric. The fact that people don't get that is one of the reasons why it's obvious that the people who work in the field are not, you know, into computer science. The bottom line is that I think crypto is a ripoff. If you want to spend any time or money on it, that's up to you. This El Salvador mess, I think it's already turning on the crypto world. And I think Trump is pumping it up. I will tell you that. The Trump phenomena is giving crypto a lot of energy, a lot of power. And we'll see what happens with that. We'll see. I got an email yesterday, and I have to read it to you because it's poignant and sad. It's an email, and, you know, it's something that we got to talk about, and I just don't know what to tell you. Dear friend, I came across your mail contact prior to a private search while in need of your assistance. I am Aisha. Aisha Gaddafi. Aisha Gaddafi. The only biological daughter of former president of Libya, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. I am a single mother and a widow with three children. I have investment funds worth $27,500,000. United States dollar. And I need a trusted investment manager / partner because of my current refugee status. However, I'm interested in you for investment project assistance in your country. Best regards, Miss Aisha Al-Gaddafi. I got another email yesterday too, just after this one. I'd like to read this one to you because it's really sad, poignant, and meaningful. Dear Jedi or Space Smuggler, I came across your mail contact prior to a private search while in need of your assistance. I am Princess Leia, the only biological daughter of the former president of Alderaan, Chief Boo Boo. I am single and will fuck you and your hairy friends. If you know, you know. I have apple-sized titties and a nice snatch. More pics here if you click on this. Okay, 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 Leia. I have investment funds worth $27,500,000 imperial credits. And I need a trusted Jedi or mercenary or space freak because of my current refugee status, I'll also take a Wookiee. However, I am interested in you for your honor and your bravery and your Jedi Code bullshit. I'll give you blowjobs. Best regards, Princess Leia. You know, it's funny. Sometimes, in these little banal phishing scams, these little cons, you see the simple architecture of how the big con works. And a big part of the big con is pulling on the heartstrings. It's like Mr. Beast. I don't really know what's going on there. You know, I've talked about Vern Burton, and when I was reading about Mr. Beast this morning, I had that Vern Burton feeling. If you know, you know. And Mr. Beast, Jimmy Donaldson, has that Vern Burton feeling. It's like when people talk about MKUltra kids. What if Mr. Beast, I mean, look at some of the pictures of the guy and his eyes, they just kind of glassy. What if he's an MKUltra kid? You never know. You never know. You come to your own conclusion. All I know is that if you're really trying to help people, probably doing it in public is not the right way. Probably trying to keep it as private as possible is the right way. Maybe you can't help it if you're building a big organization to help people, but then it's not just about you, it's about everybody on your team. And when you begin to see that delineation, you know a couple things. Mr. Beast's not a Christian, okay? He might claim to be a Christian at times in his life, but he's not. And I can't imagine anybody who grew up in North Carolina or whatever calling themselves Mr. Beast if they were a Christian. It doesn't make a lot of sense. They pull on your heartstrings, okay? They're going to feed you a horror story. They're going to say, look at all these kids flash mobbing the store. Look at all those Palestinians urinating on a cross. Look at all those Native Americans raping the good white women. You know, it's the 1840s. And you're a good East Coast white American dude reading your weekly magazine. And in the back of the magazine is an article, a horror story, probably ghostwritten by, I don't know. Edgar Allan Poe. And it talks of the evil natives murdering the good people and how if you really cared, you'd support the U.S. Cavalry and try to send out a unit to go teach them a lesson. It's the Spanish girl from Cuba talking about how she was raped. It's the throwing babies out of the incubators. It's the same old shit over and over again. They're going to give you a horror story. It's all the hostages. Dan, did you know there are 50 gorillion hostages that the Palestinians are holding in Gaza? And if they don't give back the 50 gorillion, then we're just going to have to drop 10 gorillion worth of hippos on them. They pull on your heartstrings. Sometimes they're just a cheap ripoff artist, like a Princess Leia or a fucking Gandalf, and they knock on your fucking door and they sell you a story of bullshit. But more often than not, it's big scale. For us, I mean, it really is. It's large scale bullshit. And if you don't care, you're a bad person. Listen, you're going to kill grandma if you go to church. It's okay to go to Walmart. But if you go to church during the monkey herpes, if you go to church during the COVID, you're going to kill grandma. But Walmart is okay. You can go to the restaurant, but you can't go to church. You can take off your coffee filter once you sit down. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? It's a cheap drug, really. It really is a cheap drug. And the people that run our society know this. They know how to manage the Skinner box. But it is interesting in these little petty little grifts, like this one from Princess Leia, or the other one from, you know, the daughter of Muammar Gaddafi. It could be true. The likelihood is less than probably, I don't know, 1 in 25 gorillion times infinity. But if you want to believe it's true, it might be, right? Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. "You vote for your guy, love your guy. I always hated your guy." I don't want to spend too much time on this. I get so sick of having the conversation. Well, you must support Biden. You must support Trump. I don't support any of your guys. They are all fake as fuck. We don't know what the truth is. Their main purpose is to confuse you. If you think they have power, that is part of your confusion. Next topic. "But Dan, Trump's going to save the world." No, Trump is not Hitler. Trump's not going to save the world, but he is a giant puff of smoke. Okay, so part of my job is restocking some healthy snacks for the students. Apples, bananas, some of these crackers that aren't too toxic, and string cheese. It's something that we do as part of the project. We're tutoring and mentoring, but also a lot of the kids, the high school kids, need something to eat. Anyways, I was going to the cafeteria the other day and to restock the food in the room, and I saw this amazing thing. I can't possibly describe it. You have to go to the link in the notes about this amazing thing, and you'll see the picture. And the title of the amazing thing post on my blog at planetarystatusreport.com: "How fast will that damn thing go?" I forget the nomenclature. I didn't care. I saw this man cruising through the cafeteria in this magical device from probably Star Wars. And he was cruising about at 2 to 3 miles per hour, which is like 20 hippos per second, or 80 flamingos per year, or 20 hookers left somewhere in the southwest in the desert. It went about that fast. Holy shit. I don't know. You can look at it. I thought it was cool. I think it would be funny to make some type of an action movie involving this thing, because it's clearly a poor man's Zamboni, but it's designed to basically sweep and wash the floor. You ride it. It's got a steering wheel. You can do wheelies in it. You can hammer it. I asked the guy, "How fast can it go?" And he says, "This is as fast as it goes." As he slips past me at 2 to 3 miles per hour, but I thought, wow, what if he took it outside in the snow? You know, what if he tried to go up those hills where we got some that magical Raytheon snow and ice right now? Gosh, that would be a movie. Anyways, you can't know because you're listening and I can't show you. So I was asking randomly some of the teenagers that come into the room for tutoring the other day about this phenomenon of tossing shoes over power lines. I don't know if I want to spend a lot of time on this because the podcast today, it could have been really long. I don't want it to be really long. I have a link to a particular article I reviewed. The simple answer is that there's many explanations, and I've not come across one specific one that you can like say is true. Some people connect this to gang behavior. One person said that when you do well in sports, you toss your shoes up there. Of course, if you watch the TV series or whatever show called Better Call Saul, at one point Ermin Trout, you know, puts some cocaine in a shoe and takes the long shot with his rifle to get some cocaine on the truck before it hits the border. So the dogs sniff it, and the bad cartel dudes go to prisons. Who knows? You probably know more about this than I do. I've always wondered about it, and I've never gotten a good explanation. I've even heard people say it's related specifically to gang hits. Like, if you see a pair of shoes over a power line, someone's about to get killed, or clipped, as they would say. I don't know. So this is another topic that, well, okay, I'll read this one article. I'll read this one. This article comes from Fox13Seattle.com, and the headline is, "Seattle Police Hunting for Luna Park Cafe Egg Thieves." This was written by Ramsey Pfeffinger and published on February the 7th, 2025. Hundreds of eggs are missing from a West Seattle restaurant in what police are calling a breakfast heist. The theft was reported during the early morning hours of February 5th in the area of Southwest Manning Street and Southwest Avalon Way. Officers say they responded to the Luna Park Cafe at about 4:42 a.m. after someone at the business reported the rotten activity seen live on the security cameras. Next, two men went to the restaurant's refrigerator shed and took boxes with about 540 eggs inside, reportedly worth $387, according to SPD. In addition to eggs, the establishment reports bacon, ground beef, blueberries, and other egg products were taken, totaling $780, all seen on video, being loaded into the van. The owner of the Luna Park Cafe says he rushed down to the car after he was notified of the theft and stopped the men from taking more because eggs are so expensive and hard to get due to the bird flu outbreak. It's been a hardship for the small business. It's scary, and now we are worried that they are going to come back, said Hyung Park, owner of Luna Park Cafe. Hyung Park, that must be Korean. I'm going to stop here because the rest of this is, you know, call the fucking SPD, and I don't care. You all heard about the 100,000 eggs. I think we talked about in that previous podcast, the big Pennsylvania heist. $40,000 worth of eggs. And currently in the UK, that's the United Kingdom, where they have a king and a queen. Currently in the UK, there is an epidemic of people doing that self-checkout shoplifting. And you know, okay, I'll be honest. This has happened to me once or twice where I mistakenly didn't scan something. And folks, that happens. That happens. It's hard to, like, beat yourself up over that. That's simply a choice. When you think of it, that's a choice that the company makes, because there is a statistical likelihood that a certain percentage of people will make mistakes. All people make mistakes, period. So if you're going to go ahead and have self-checkout, you're taking responsibility that average people won't make a mistake. Well, whatever. They will once in a while. I think the loss prevention people know this. But this is not a mistake. What's going on in the UK, and frankly here too, is a lot of people can't afford to pay for food. So they're scanning some ground beef, they're scanning some potatoes, because brothers and sisters, between that $2,000 mortgage payment and the cost of the food and other stuff related to Obamacare, the reality is people can't make ends meet. And so they need to steal the food. Now, getting back to what I was told in 1992 by an economics professor at the University of Washington, everybody knows that food is an inferior good. What does that mean, Mr. Professor? Does that mean food is crap? No. There's three classes of goods in economics: inferior, normal, and luxury. Inferior goods are goods that basically everybody can have and everybody can afford. Normal goods are goods that typically people with resources can afford, but they're expected. Everybody will generally have them, whatever. Luxury goods are for people who have extra money, lots of disposable income. So when you think of inferior goods, it's like things that you can almost get for free. That's what an economics professor told me in 1992 food was in America. It was an inferior good. Well, a lot's changed in the last 30 plus years, right? A lot's changed, and it's not that world any longer. And we can have discussions about the bird flu and other things. You all know my own belief on this, that one explanation, not the only explanation, because basically most of my explanations fall into two categories at this point: best case and worst case. So my best case explanation of what's going on falls into the exploding cow and chicken and pig having sex, and the anarchist setting fire to the food processing plants, and hobos with Bic lighters, and I can keep going. The best case scenario explanation is stealth dollar collapse, which means that probably, effectively, the US dollar collapsed in 2019, and the American people are going to be the last people to know. And stories like this are meant to explain why the eggs are getting more expensive. It's like the penny thing. You know, people are looking at Trump and saying, this penny thing is weird or crazy, whatever. But from a grifter perspective, canceling pennies is actually kind of smart. because it results in an instantaneous inflation in prices. Instantaneous inflation that you can explain. Well, why is it? It used to be, 20 whatever, 2091, and now it's 2095. But again, around the margins with the inferior goods called food, right? Yeah, I think the funny thing about the penny thing is that almost immediately everybody selling right now can go to just five. They can go to 95, 25. But the key point is you're going to be taking the ceiling and not the floor. That's what they're going to be doing. And if you don't know what a ceiling and floor is in mathematics, look it up. The United States still has a ton of food. Not all of it's healthy. I would contend that probably starting with the Green Revolution, the Norman Borlaug Revolution, the nutritional value of our food has dropped. So, yeah, we have a lot of food. A lot of it's garbage. A lot of it's probably killing us slowly. Famine kills you faster. I don't know how to break this to the people that want to eat clean, but I'm just going to say it simply. At some point in the near future, you're going to have to choose between eating clean, which means not eating, and actually eating. So you can eat clean and have nothing, or you can eat. Because the quote-unquote clean food probably doesn't exist. Based upon what I can see with my own eyes, and you need to do your own thinking on this, everything is polluted at this point. All of it. And it's a choice. It's a choice that was made, probably not by you, but it's a choice that was made. So yeah, you might not like the gross food, the processed food, the Norman Borlaug food. I don't like that food either. But the sad thing is that even that food's going to run out. Next topic. So here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You run out of resources long before you run out of stupid. Dr. Freckles. Well, what does that mean, Dan? What kind of crazy person are you? Yeah. You run out of resources long before you run out of stupid. The theory of peak oil, which in some ways is sound. It's a sound theory. When it comes to conventional oil, Hubbard, who's famous for the Hubbard's Peak, Hubbard more or less predicted the peak of conventional oil production, and that was 1970. All the new stuff since 1970 is called unconventional oil. This is one of the ways in which the quote-unquote weirdos at, I don't know, these various institutes, this is one of the ways they confuse you, is they try to say it's all the same. Well, it's not. It's not. One thing to keep in mind is that during the Great Depression, one barrel of oil still got you probably up to 100 barrels, okay? Today, one barrel of oil in terms of energy and value maybe gets you 3 or 4 at best. And some would say there are certain plays where if you use true energy definitions, like energy in, energy out, like the oil sands, in reality, it's a big hole they're digging, a giant toxic hole. They're not making any money or energy. They're in reality taking excess energy and boiling the tar sands to sell oil. But the reality is, from an energy in, energy out perspective, it's kind of an absurdity. But there's nothing else they can do. You know, I used to joke and say, this is how the Nazis produced oil at the end of the war. It was a joke. It was an oversimplification. But my point was, this is what desperation looks like. Drilling for oil, 20 miles down, boiling tar sands. This is crazy. And it's getting crazier. And it's not a result of free markets, by the way. If we had actual free markets, I think we would be in a better situation. But here's the point. If you don't want to have freedom, you're going to have a shit ton of stupid. And there's no amount of resources that feeds stupid. Stupid is a giant hole. Stupid is an animal that can eat anything and everything. You could have a mountain of gold, a mountain of hookers, a mountain of cocaine, a mountain of diamonds and oil and uranium. And stupid will swallow it all up and poop out chaos and pain. So that's something to keep in mind. I think the peak oil theory is sound, but the resource problem really isn't about the resources. It's about the people who just frankly are sociopaths, mentally ill, and believe you can consume 10,000 years worth of lunches in 100 years and have no consequences. I think we're going to find out pretty soon that's not fucking true, though. So I've talked about this. There was a science fiction teleplay anthology series sponsored by Stephen King called Nightmares and Dreamscapes. And it was on quote-unquote TV back in 2006. One of the episodes was an episode called The End of the Whole Mess. And I'm going to read the synopsis really quick. On November the 25th, 2011, documentary filmmaker Howard Fornoy tells the story of his family, and more specifically of his younger brother Robert. Bobby, a genius from birth, was troubled with the human race's violent tendencies. One day he discovers a small town in Texas with a non-existent crime rate, and he attempts to find out the cause. He finds chemicals in the local water supply that have a calming effect. In an effort to bring about world peace, he decides to spread the chemical worldwide using a volcano eruption. But Bobby's plan has side effects he did not foresee. Well, one of the side effects of Bobby's plan was that these chemicals, they just didn't make people calmer and nicer. They also resulted in a rapid kind of dementia or Alzheimer's. And so about the time this documentary filmmaker at the beginning of the episode is talking about what happened, he's also beginning to suffer from dementia and merely being exposed to the rain. So people do their best to stay out of the rain, stay out of the water, because raining down on them is the poison. The volcano explodes, it releases this chemical into the atmosphere, and then raining down on the whole human race is the poison. The poison making people calmer. The poison ending wars. The poison making people nicer. Like Mr. Beast. Like the stuff you can see in the sky every single day, right? With your own eyes. You don't need anybody to tell you about polar vortexes or heat domes or atmospheric rivers or 20-some clouds that never existed when I was a kid. You don't need to lie to anybody or gaslight them about the windshields on the pickup trucks and why the forests are so fucking quiet. Tell me about your clean food. I mean, really. For those of you out there who are boggled why people are stealing eggs, tell me about your perfectly clean food. Every fucking day, they are salting the earth. Where do you think your water comes from, your food comes from? And by the way, when they say we've got one plastic spoon's worth of microplastics in our brain, I think Dane Wigington, and if you want to know who he is, you can go to geoengineeringwatch.org, and he also has a YouTube channel. Dane Wigington, I think, would tell you that it's worse. That it's not micro, it's actual nanoscale, and it's not just plastic. It's a lot of garbage. A lot of garbage used to geoengineer the planet right now. Geoengineering the planet, which probably started after World War II, probably started at the poles, the North and South Pole, and then when they lost that battle, started happening everywhere about 15, 20 years ago. There's a link to an article here called Deep Shield. I've talked about Deep Shield before, and the context I used for it was a quote-unquote apocryphal thing from the 1960s called the Report from Iron Mountain. Deep Shield could be legit, it could be complete crap, or it could be something in between. And so if you click on the link and you want to read about this, you can. But the fact is, it's hard to know which is which. If you're asking me, do I believe driving a car and eating cheeseburgers is why we have problems in the environment? My answer would be probably not. And if you know anything about human history, you must know at this point. And I've said this so many times, so I really want you to understand it. Because pretty soon, if you don't get this, you might harm your neighbor. Pretty soon, if you don't get this, you might harm someone you care about. Listen to what I'm about to say. The oldest story in human history, or at least one of the oldest stories, is if some building is on fire, if some city is aflame, find some poor people to blame. Did you understand what I just fucking said? You get an email from Princess Leia. You get an email from the daughter of Muammar Gaddafi. She might tell you they're bad people trying to destroy the Republic, but only Obi-Wan and Gandalf and Bilbo and some other hoe named Joe, only they can save the universe. Because the poor people set it on fire. That's an old story. And it's not just about Nero burning Rome. It goes back to the beginning. If there is a calamity, find the weakest people in your society. They could be homeless people. They could be immigrants. I don't fucking care. Find people who are totally beat down by reality. Make sure you tune in to Mr. Beast first. And then when you feel really good about yourself, be okay about them being loaded onto buses and trucks and trains and going someplace. Now, the good news about where I'm coming from is I know it's worse. Okay, some of you think there's enough juice, enough diesel fuel to do all the things, all these crazy things that Donald Trump's been talking about. I know there isn't. You see Hitler. You see Mussolini, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot. You also might see Jesus or Buddha or Cyrus the Great. But when I look at Trump, I see a giant fucking smoke grenade, and probably July of last year is when it was, you know, triggered. He's nothing. He represents in reality nothing. What he is in terms of teleology or purpose is an occultation, an obscuration, a shadow, a cloud, a puff of fucking smoke. Best case scenario has been the same for me for 10 years. People who have been listening to me for more than 10 years know that I'm telling the truth. Best case scenario, we're looking at not just a crack up from a crack up boom. We're looking at a human civilization crack up. That's probably the kind of thing that only happens once every 1,000 years, maybe twice. I mean, again, it would be twice if we compare it to the 14th century crisis. But I think it's going to be worse than that. I think it's going to be political, economic, social chaos on a grand scale with famine and war and destruction, and probably it's going to last about 100 years. And when it's over, maybe there's a renaissance, maybe people claw their way out, who the hell knows? But likely, by the middle of this century, the population of the U.S., best case scenario, will be about 20 million people. Worst case scenario, there's no God. There's no Christ, there's no Buddha, there's no force in the universe that cares about you. Worst case scenario, if something very ugly is creeping this direction, and if you're a Christian and you believe in God and you've settled on a square called worst case scenario, then logically, at this point, brothers and sisters, it would kind of make sense that we're either in or on the edge of the end times. But I don't know. I don't know. I know that you need to be really careful because there are a lot of grifters out there, a lot of con artists, okay? A lot of people that will tell you something you want to hear. Now, just because I might tell you a bunch of stuff you don't want to hear, that doesn't imply what I'm saying is true. That's also important to remember. You know, I could be wrong. I'm not lying to you, but every liar says that. People who tell the truth can be wrong. Okay, that happens. That's reality. And when they find out they're wrong, they should admit to it. I thought that Bo Blimp Doc, which is what I started calling it in 2021, I thought Bo Blimp Doc would last about 5 years. And the 5 years is almost up. Does that mean something happens in a couple weeks? Probably not. Do I think that this Neo-Stalinist hellhole could fall apart at any time? Yeah, I do. I've kind of felt that way for 10 years. It's just that, you know, when it comes to big sweeps of human history, things that could last 100 to 1,000 years, picking out when they start and being off by a couple years is not that big a deal to me. I'm not giving investment advice, by the way. I never have given investment advice. My advice has been pretty simple. Take care of food, water, shelter. Take care of the people you love. Okay? Prepare. And if you have something left over, try to be happy. That's been my consistent fucking advice when I provided the advice for every fucking minute, every fucking second of my podcast on every platform I've been kicked off of. Food, water, shelter. Try to help people as much as you can. Try to find joy and live free. That's not investment advice, but I think it's solid enough, and it's not that exciting, and it doesn't need to be. The key word is freedom. Live free. Live an ethos of liberty. Just don't talk about it. Do it. Don't wait for it. Do it. Don't hope that a magical orange king riding a horse is going to help you. Help yourself and help others right now. That's it. And never forget, as I was told, your best medicine in the next month is a good dose of sunshine. Your best medicine in the next couple days is to walk out into the field and stare directly at the sun. Open your eyes and glare deeply. Burn away your retinas so you can finally see. No, actually, I'm kidding. Don't do that. That will harm your eyes. But we could all use some sunshine. We could all use that dose of vitamin D. And this time of year, that's not bad advice. In fact, probably, when you think about it, if you're some type of fortune cookie company and you really want to get an edge on the others, you probably would introduce a little bit of that farmer's almanac grift. And, you know, obviously, you'd know Port Angeles is a dreary place this time of year and only vampires thrive. And so you'd send people a message saying something that is obvious. We all could use some more sunshine here. Yeah. Fuck. It is Wednesday. Wednesday, February the 12th, 2025. It's almost 6 a.m. If you want to donate to this podcast, you can. There's a link to PayPal. I have no idea how much longer the PayPal is going to work or the internet's going to work. But if you want to donate, you can. But before you do, listen to the following. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you send random money to anybody, anywhere, anytime, make sure your food, water, shelter situation is taken care of. If there are people in your life right now that need help, help them first. Before you donate to my podcast, before you donate to anybody, help the people in your life right now. The real people you can verify. I don't mean fake people. I don't mean Twitter people. I mean people you know are real. And help them first. If you're setting aside a little extra food because you're an optimist and you figure 6 months will be enough, but as I've told you, nobody's basement is big enough. If you're setting aside 6 months worth for your family, for yourself, and you have a pet, a dog, a cat, a bat, a rat, make sure you set aside 6 months worth of food for them too. Okay? Don't be a jerk. And that includes water purification. And remember, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, I paint some pretty dreary pictures. My best case is most people's worst case. You know, and as Dr. Freckles says, that makes me feel pretty good. But we can't predict the future. And as I've mentioned in that whole, you know, hang glider thought experiment, there are islands of possibility that we might accidentally fall on. You know, we don't know. The human race is not doomed. We are not doomed. We can make good choices and bad choices. If we make a bunch of shitty choices, in all likelihood, the universe is going to reward us with a giant steaming turd. If we start making better choices, the outcomes could be better. If you're a Christian, as I am, I'm not a very good one right now, but I am a Christian. I'm not ashamed to say it. If you're a Christian like me, you must know this. We step 1 foot closer to Christ, Christ will step 10,000 infinite light years closer to us. Okay, that's how the kingdom life works. We have to start living it. We can't just talk about it. So yeah, these are creepy, scary times, and people are crap heads, and who knows? I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And I can't tell you that I could be wrong. I'm not lying to you. I hope I'm wrong. I am not lying to you. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, but still not the end of the world. There are good times and bad times and good times. And the human race has probably always been a question mark since we ate our first Neanderthal. You know, that first time we ate Neanderthal, we thought, well, this is good eating. You right? We've been a question mark for a long time, depending upon your belief system. But it's not the end of the world. And right now, the internet works, and you can still order pizza, you can still go to the grocery store and, you know, take out a loan on your home to buy some eggs. Things are still functioning right now. And you can still enjoy this life and do some stuff, because even though it's not the end of the world, there are a lot of things that might disappear for a while. Maybe for so long that it'll be your great-grandchildren who will get a chance to see them again. And maybe it won't be that way everywhere, but it will probably be like that most places. And that's my best case scenario. And I think that starts unfolding at a rapid way pretty soon. But right now, we're not there yet. And even though that place is not the end of the world, it might be the end of 24-hour dining. It might be the end of going to that bar you like. It might be the end of, you know, movies as we know them. There might still be movies, but it might be a lot more local. Who knows? If you're lucky. But right now, what people try to call normal is still functioning, kind of. Like a bouncy castle. The motor's smoky, and there's a couple rips in the fabric, but it's still kind of there. So before you donate to my fucking podcast, donate to yourself. Give yourself a break. If you think Trump is Hitler, then go to a Trump is Hitler party and have some fun. Make fun of Hitler. If you think Trump is saving you, then build a church and worship Trump. It's crazy and definitely not a Christian thing to do. And I think taking advice from Paula White falls into the same category, but do it. But the point is, if there's some whole normal thing you would do to be happy. Find that joy. Maybe it is to take a flight to Mexico and walk out in the sunlight and get a dose of sun. But whatever it is, before you donate to my podcast, please do that first. And if you've done all those things, and you own all the gold in Texas, and you live on a German diesel-electric submarine with a fold-out, you know, oceanic garden system, and your own onboard biodiesel generator system designed to be at sea for years and years and years, so you can get away from all the crazy people, because that's your dream, Mr. Dan, to have a German converted diesel-electric style submarine like the ones that spooked our attack submarines during those NATO competitions not so many years ago. Whatever your dream is, billionaire Texas King, Bitcoin Baron, you can give me as much money as you want, and I will do the following with it. I will take care of food, water, shelter. I'll try to help the people I love. I'll try to do something productive within the community, to include probably starting a business. And I'll try to be happy.